JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability community to one community. All one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Halfway through, in fact, dead center of the work week right now and halfway through our hump show. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As I say, really good to see Damar Hamlin. He looks healthy. He looks happy. He looks ready to go. And what an inspiration for his team, but also what an inspiration for all of the millions and millions of Americans who followed his story. Not only his cardiac arrest on the field on national TV, but also followed his 2.5 days in the hospital or 2 days in the hospital till we heard that he was awake, staying there in Cincinnati, finally getting transported back to the Buffalo area, his parents with him. We were hearing from family members, but waiting with bated breath and really for 2 consecutive days following that Monday night game that was canceled, at the time postponed, but ultimately canceled. We saw what we never see, which is the NFL come to a grinding halt. Because the health, the safety, the well-being of one of their members, but also the emotional impact on everyone who saw it and considered his own health, but considered that the game that he loves can ultimately be one that is harsh and cruel and violent. In this case, nearly took a life. All of that is jarring. And there's no way to avoid all those emotions, the negative, the scary, the uncertain, the anxious, if you do play football for a living. But I think more than that, what I really appreciated was hearing how many of the NFL's players and then athletes in other leagues as well talked about faith and prayer and coming together and friendship and support and encouragement of one another. Those conversations were also going on in the locker rooms around the country. So what may initially have seemed as though it was dark and it was scary, really scary doesn't cut it. It was terrifying. It was a near miss. It became a story of healing and recovery and hope. And Damar has been so good at spreading hope. According to Damar, the mental part of all of this and the roller coaster of emotions is, quote, the hardest hurdle. And so that's why the Buffalo Bills are going out of their way to not only have a separate trainer travel with him everywhere he goes, but offering him whatever mental health support that he needs. Sean McDermott, moving forward one step at a time here. That's what he said. That's one way to mitigate the fear and the uncertainty, one step at a time. During the pandemic, I know this is a cliche, but it really became a mantra for me, one day at a time, one show at a time. I'm not generally a person who lives like that because I love to look ahead. Looking ahead to things that I'm excited about helps me to get through some of the more mundane routine and also the disappointments. It gives me something to look forward to. Have that anticipation kind of helps with the rest of my life. But during the pandemic, one day at a time, one show at a time, that was it. That was as far as I could look ahead. I love the wisdom from Damar, and I know he's inspiring a lot of people. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Because this is the third hour of the Hump Show, it means We are so close to asking Amy anything. You are so close, or Jay really is so close to asking Amy anything, courtesy of your questions. So check out Twitter, After Hours CBS, also our Facebook page. I didn't even pose this question to you, but some of you are answering after I told you about the assignment that I asked my students to do, which is pick a sports figure and prepare for an interview. Some of you have written in with your sports figures that you would interview if you had the opportunity to pick anyone and then prepare for that interview. I was tough on them, though. I didn't push back in terms of the topics because I felt like they were pretty well prepared. What I did push back on is, where do you start? You don't start with the really tough questions. You don't start with, so one of the students wanted to interview Mark Cuban and instantly wanted to go right to the moves that he's made and the Kyrie issue, blah, blah, whatever. And I said, you can't start there. You have to build up a bit of a rapport with Mark Cuban. What's just happened with the Mavericks? And after a bit of a hemming and hawing, and he said, well, they missed the playoffs. Exactly. That's where you start. Start with a simple, build a rapport with your guest as much as you can in a couple of minutes, and then you jump into some of the topics in the deep end of the pool.
I just want him to be okay and have peace.
Kyrie wants everyone to have peace. Problem is, when Kyrie's around, there's not as much peace. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, L.A.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
got it.
Yeah.
Touchdown, Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again. No, Herbert keeps it. End zone touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We're talking about the Buffalo Bills and DeMar Hamlin making his return to voluntary OTAs, being cleared to resume football activities. That is music to the ears of Josh Allen.
I haven't gotten to see him since I saw the news. We kind of work out at different times. The defense goes a little earlier. We go later and switch off for meetings. So I haven't been able to give him a big old hug yet, but it's been good to see him in the building. You know, right when this thing happened, that was his mindset from the very start was, I'm going to play again. And, you know, you're never going to doubt a guy like that who's had a lot of adversity in his life, and he's continued to find ways. And this is just another obstacle that he's been able to get around and push forward. And super excited for him, super excited for our team. You know, he's a heck of a football player, and we love having him back.
Josh Allen getting set for his sixth season in the NFL. And he acknowledges a couple of things, and this I really like, that his playing style maybe needs to change a bit. He can't be quite as physical and as aggressive the older he gets if he wants to have a long and productive NFL career. So he acknowledges that maybe he has to change his style a little bit, meaning you can't bowl guys over. He loves the contact. He doesn't shy away from the contact. However, not only can you get banged up that way, you can also cut short your football life if you are a quarterback who often leads your team in running. So let's not do that. He says, it sounds crazy, but I'm getting older. The ripe old age of 26. Yes, he says, I know when I'm using my youth, I feel like I can run, but over the course of my career, I'm going to have to learn to adapt and change. Also, going to have to heal that shoulder injury that limited him a little bit. What was it, past week 9, if I remember correctly, that he was dealing with it the rest of the way.
That feels really good. Threw a couple times, and again, no issues. So, you know, just getting back on track. Obviously, within this first phase and a little bit into the second phase, not a whole lot of throwing here in the building, but trying to find other outlets to be able to get guys moving around, getting the ball in the air. So, stuff we're still working around, and that's the rules we have to work with, and it is what it is, but we'll find ways where we can still get some work done.
I love this quote from Allen as well. I do want to be the smartest quarterback with the football in my hands. Well, smart means not only self-preservation, it also means the more risks you take as a runner, the more chance there are going to be turnovers, right? Because defensive players, they're hawking that ball and they're going to come after him. So it's not just the hits, it's also the risk. And I do believe he's a really smart guy. And I still say the Buffalo Bills are going to break through this glass ceiling at some point. They will be a sentimental favorite when that happens. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bills rule the roost in the AFC East. Bill O'Brien, though, taking over the offense for the Patriots. What about Mac Jones? How good can this young QB be?
I think the big thing for us right now is everybody's starting with a clean slate. You know, I think that every year is different. I think this year is no different than any other year relative to each year in the NFL is different, right? So what you did in the past, or whether it's a player or a coach or anybody in the organization, really has no bearing on what happens moving forward.
Sounds like Bill Belichick, doesn't he? That's funny. So yes, a disappointing offensive season for Mac Jones as well as for the Patriots in 22. But Bill O'Brien is saying fresh start. I'm not bringing any of Mac's past history into this. Instead, we're going to move forward and we're going to start fresh, and it's a clean slate. And yeah, the Patriots, specifically Belichick, are counting on O'Brien to be able to find the best in Mac Jones and also pair that skill set and his strengths with the weapons that they've got on the field. And here's the connection with Alabama. Mac, of course, went to Alabama. It's a Heisman Trophy candidate. And then for Bill O'Brien, he was the offensive coordinator just as Mac's college career was ending, right? So they've got that Alabama tie. We know that Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, mutually exclusive club there where they have this utmost respect for one another. So I believe that Bill O'Brien can be really good for... He can be really good for Mac Jones. He can be really good, of course, for the Patriots. They really need some actual offensive coaches that are running the offense, no? Let me see if I have that right. Yeah, so... He moved to Alabama for what? The 21 season, right? I think they crossed paths there. I think Mac was in the draft as he was taking over at Alabama. So it was a brief cross. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio in the NFC East. Daniel Jones is facing at least a spring without his star running back, Saquon Barkley, who at this point is not going to sign the franchise tender.
You know, everyone's got their own situation, and I'll keep, you know, the conversations we had, you know, those are personal conversations, and obviously he's a good friend of mine, good teammate, and I'm hoping, you know, for the best for him, and you know, like I said, there's a business side to all this. He's a great teammate, great friend. Everyone in the building knows that, and I'll support him, support him through it all.
I know he wants a long-term deal. I am hoping for Saquon that he recognizes the wisdom in signing the tender. You still get paid a lot of money. It may not be the long-term deal, the job security that you want, but ultimately there's no real job security in the NFL anyway. Sign the tender. Go be on your playoff team. Go prove yourself. But also don't take a year off, because that never goes well for players. It just doesn't. Especially not at the running back position where they cycle through so quickly. He has such a limited window in which he can earn money. Go earn the contract. It's really more timing. Not that the Giants don't value him. It's the timing. They had to pay Daniel Jones this season as well. All right, moving forward. Jared Goff. Oh, speaking of getting paid, is Jared Goff going to have another season like last year? He may very well end up getting paid again. Right now, the Lions are so happy with them, they weren't even interested in Lamar Jackson. And Jared Goff says, coming off of the Lions' finish last year, the second half in which they surged to within playoff contention, it's a different feeling in the Lions' facilities.
There's a vibe. There's a feeling vibe that you have. Nothing truly tangible. You know, like I said, we lost guys, we gained guys, and it's a whole new set of guys. We lost coaches, we gained coaches, and it's always brand new. But there is a there's an overwhelming feeling of optimism, and excitement for what we think we can do.
We keep hearing that, right? We keep hearing that from various members of the Lions. Or remember with Marvin Jones, who couldn't wait to get back to Detroit, a place that he had played previously, and now he says it's so much different here. Everything is so much different.
I swear to God, I'm not a lunatic.
I don't believe you, but I actually like the fact that you are a lunatic, Dan Campbell. So what are the expectations going into this next season? How can the Lions build Jared Goff?
I think the standards and expectations will continue to rise, and I think the urgency in the building will continue to rise, and I think it has already. And I think all the way from the top down through us is ready to go and ready to get after this year. There's a lot of work to do and a lot of time until we can actually get on the field and put this stuff into action, but we're excited.
They ended up winning 8 of their last 10, and of course the triumphant regular season finale in which they were at Green Bay, knocked the Packers out of the playoffs.
Who says we can't get flexed?
Oh, and they finally got flexed for the first time all season. Love Dan Campbell. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. No getting flexed for the Browns, unless it was flexed out of national TV. No playoffs for them either, but Deshaun Watson's got a full offseason and then training camp in front of him, and he's got goals, I tell ya.
Biggest thing is to win a lot of games, have this city rocking, and like Jim said, in his press conference, one of the biggest things that the city wants is to be able to have that parade at the end of the year. So that's the ultimate goal, but we have steps and things and work to put in before we get there.
You're right. That is the goal, is to win a lot of games and have a parade at the end of the season. Can Deshaun Watson be the solution and not the problem? We shall see. Oh, speaking of problems, the Carolina Panthers have had so many quarterback problems over the last few years. I mean, I could go on and on about the number of guys they've cycled through from the end of Ron Rivera through Matt Rhule. And now, of course, it's Frank Reich. Hello. The overall number one pick. Yeah, Baker Mayfield, someone else's problem. Now, same division, though.
Quarterback.
Actually, he's going to be in the same division, so he will be the Panthers' problem, too. You know that they're going to have to tell him to dial it down. Dial it down. Take a breath. Dial it down. Anyway, the Panthers now have the number one pick in the draft. Scott Fitterer is the GM. Made that trade. Gave up a lot to the Chicago Bears, but they want to be able to select their franchise quarterback number one overall. So it's a nice problem to have.
This is an exciting time for the organization. To have the number one pick is a big thing. But I do think it's about the whole weekend. It's about, all the picks throughout this draft. It's about the college free agency. This is just a great time for our team to get better. But it is fun to have the number one pick. Obviously on TV a lot, there's a lot of talk about it. But guys have done a ton of work on it, and we're prepared.
There were these rumors, vicious rumors, I tell you, floating around about how Fitterer actually told Bryce Young of Alabama that he will be the top pick, that the Panthers will select him number one overall. Fitterer says that is not the case, so he refutes that. It's draft time, so beware. Be very careful. Take everything with a grain of salt. Believe half of what you read and probably not even half of what you hear. Don't fall for the clickbait like I did with Gisele Bundchen. Anyway, do the Panthers know who they're taking at the top of the draft?
We're still going through the process. Obviously through since February, the combine and everything else, there's been some clarity. But we've made a conscious effort to keep an open mind about this, be continuous throughout the process. We have the last kind of group in today. We have the coaches, Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And at that point, we'll get together and kind of make that decision. But we've got some clarity through this process.
All right, so Scott Fitterer playing those cards close to the vest. They will take a quarterback, that much we know. But which one will it be, Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud, or potentially off the beaten path? They have said the issue that many people are pointing to, which is Bryce Young's height, is not a problem for them. And actually, Fitterer has a track record here, right? Because he was in Seattle going back a decade ago when the Seahawks selected Russell Wilson, who's shy of 6 feet. And so if you're thinking about shorter quarterbacks with the footballs that get batted down at the line of scrimmage. That's not been a huge problem for Russell Wilson, or it wasn't at Wisconsin for sure. And it's not been a hallmark of his career. Bryce Young, he is a guy that has made do. He's got no choice, not going to wear platform shoes out there. It's different, though, when you get to the NFL and the defensive linemen are so much bigger, so much taller, and their paws are gigantic. So we'll see. Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, or other. That draft is coming up quick, actually. It's a week from Thursday, the first round. So we'll be here that night to review the first round and the decisions that were made. Straight ahead. Well, not straight ahead, but 15 minutes from now, Ask Amy Anything. So get your questions submitted now on Twitter, A Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Coming up next, what do I want to do coming up next? Let's see. I'm looking. I'm thinking. I'm deciding. I don't know. No, just teasing. It's a secret. I'm not telling you. But get your questions in. That's a tease right there, isn't it? Get your questions in so that you have the opportunity to put them in front of Jay's face before we get there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, our hump show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First and goal from the 5. Matthew Stafford under center. Daryl Henderson, the tailback behind him. He stands up, throws left side. Allen Robinson, airborne, high points the football. Touchdown, LA!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Allen Robinson on the move. He was a member of the Los Angeles Rams. However, as the Rams continue to divest themselves of veteran pieces, the Steelers are expected to make that trade official coming up on Wednesday. Robinson scheduled to undergo a physical in Pittsburgh today, and the Rams are actually picking up, it's about 75% of his salary that he's supposed to make in 2023. Rams are going to pay more than $10 million of what is a $15.25 million guaranteed salary for next season. So the Steelers are getting him for a relatively bargain basement price of $5 million, as well as Pittsburgh's 7th round pick. All right, so they're exchanging 7th round picks. It's really not that much to give up. So big pickup here for the Steelers. And Mike Tomlin is laughing all the way to the facilities. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I like this for a couple of reasons. Number one, we can talk about Allen Robinson and the Steelers offense and thinking about the fact that they are trying to put pieces, good, solid pieces, pieces that can make plays for Kenny Pickett. There's not a lot of chatter around the Pittsburgh Steelers for obvious reasons. When you're kind of middle of the road, when you're stable, you're not making a ton of waves, well, then people aren't necessarily talking about your team. But here's the deal. And obviously in the AFC North, you've got much greater dramatic storylines around Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, but also you've got the question mark of Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals and what he's going to make, especially now that the Jalen Hurts contract has dropped. You've also got the Cleveland Browns, and we know there's always something to ask, some question that's unanswered about the Cleveland Browns. So that kind of means the Pittsburgh Steelers with what was it, an 8-8 record, 8-1 last year, I think, something like that. Well, it wasn't a losing season. We know that to be sure, but I think they were right at 500, actually. And so they kind of flying under the radar because they're middle of the road. So we bring them up because they're not getting a lot of attention, and yet they are working diligently to bring in different veterans who can help them get back to that next level in 2023. And they've got a different general manager now. Remember, there's a brand new guy who's at the helm. That's Omar Khan. And he signed guys like Patrick Peterson.
Pat P.
I forgot about.
I just love Pat P.
I forgot about Tomlin going in Pat P. Honestly, I swear, I totally forgot about that. I remember that they had signed Peterson, but I forgot all about the Pat P.
Pat P.
We love Pat P.
Pat P.
I love me some Pat P. I feel like that's what my Tomlin said.
I just love Pat P.
I just just love Mike Tomlin. And there is the other part of this. I am unabashedly a fan of anything that Mike Tomlin has to say. Sometimes I don't even understand it. I'm still a fan of it. The way he phrases himself, the fact that there is no one who talks like him.
It gives you that tingle.
I said to producer Jay, pull out the Mike Tomlin drops, because that's it. I'm talking about Allen Robinson so we can hear Mike Tomlin. This makes me laugh.
Pat P.
Actually, this is kind of interesting, too. Just as a side note about the Steelers, I didn't realize this until I was doing some research. But Allen Robinson at 29 years old. Okay, he's 29 years old. He's not even the ripe old age of 30 yet. Oh, he's younger than producer Jay. Anyway, Robinson becomes the third most experienced member of the Steelers roster. How about that? Now, they're not rebuilding. I wouldn't say a rebuild necessarily, but in the wake of the Ben Roethlisberger retirement, in the wake of some of these other free agents or veteran players who've dispersed or have looked for their money elsewhere, they have gotten a lot younger. Allen Robinson, at 29 years old, is the third most experienced member of the Steelers roster as it stands right now. Pat P is one of the others, and he's brand new too. Do you know the only other player on the Steelers roster who has more experience than those two guys in the league? Actually, I shouldn't say that. I should say has as much experience. Cam Hayward. Now, he's played his entire career in Pittsburgh, so he's a captain. He's going to have to show these young guys the ropes. Robinson and Peterson can't do that, but what they can do is bring experience, bring professionalism, and set an example for the locker room. But doesn't that blow you away? I have great faith in Mike Tomlin as a coach, and I like the moves so far that Khan is making as the new GM. But it blew my mind when I read that. Two brand new guys who are just joining the team in 23 and Cam Hayward. Those are your three most experienced veterans on the Steelers roster. So as the Rams divest themselves of pieces, the Steelers become a beneficiary. And Robinson was only there for one season. It's not like he was part of a whole lot. In fact, he joined them after their Super Bowl win and really got the worst of the Rams in 2022. He had Baker Mayfield for a time. Didn't even get to spend an entire season with Matthew Stafford. And so he had three touchdowns, only played 10 games. I wouldn't say it was a failed experience if you get paid for playing football, but it wasn't a winning season, nor was it a positive experience, more than likely.
He wasn't worth a fifth round pick in fantasy, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, somebody's bitter.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks so much, Alan. Don't be one of those people. You're better than that, Producer Jay.
That was a joke.
You're better than that, Producer Jay.
You don't like Aaron for your first fantasy.
Well, I kept him. Yeah, I kept him. I picked him in the seventh round, though. I didn't pick him in the fifth round.
Yeah,
I say repeatedly that I won my fantasy football championship. Woo! Haven't said it for a while. Won my fantasy football championship in spite of Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. But I was loyal to him. I kept him all season long.
You were. You did. I don't know why, but you did.
Well, he was throwing the ball to Christian Watson, so I was needing him to continue to feed my. Actually, it was my late season pickup that helped me to win. Yeah.
Championship move.
Thank you, Jay. All of that money then went to my dog having a surgery. It's amazing. The money's gone. I didn't even have it for 2 weeks before I had to pay the vet bill. I love you, Penny.
I remember.
Actually, want to hear something kind of, I felt bad for her. She was sick while I was gone. It seems as though the older she gets, and she's now 13 and a half, when I'm gone, even if she's with people that she knows, she's more and more anxious. And so I got to be very judicious about my traveling and who watches her while I'm gone. Because sweet girl, she was sick for a couple of days. She's better now. She's much better now that Mama's home. Back following Mama all around the house.
It seems like when you go away, people get sick.
Huh. Hmm. Who else is that? Let me guess. It's Brad Marchand.
It's Brad Marchand, yes.
Stop it. It drives me crazy. Again, I say it. You're better than that, Producer Jay. I have higher expectations for you.
Robert Sala.
He's going to have a spinach salad. Yes, Robert Salad. All right, coming up next, Ask Amy Anything. So get your questions in. Pronto, aorta.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Hey, hey! CBS Sports Radio Minutes in the books. So that means I can focus on you, your questions, producer Jay posing your questions. Some of you are asking me questions that you actually could get answered on social media, but it's fine. Don't do your homework. We'll just make this easy for you. Thank you, as always, for finding us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and on our Facebook page. I do go back during the day on Wednesday afternoon. I actually have a long training run I have to do this Wednesday afternoon, but it's after that, I'll get to your questions, the ones that I can answer succinctly on social. For now, though, it's all about producer Jay. Well, I mean, he likes to think it is. Well, all about producer Jay on CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Well, the first few of these, of course, are going to be heavily themed on your vacation because everyone's dying to know. So we got to start here.
Everyone's dying to know what?
Just how it went. Well, your thoughts, your views. You've told some stories, but there's still some questions that
people need to know.
But we'll start with Gut Boy. And he asks, do you like to talk a lot while you're hiking, or are you more of a listen to the nature kind of person?
I do both. I can get very introverted and can get very introspective. But when I'm hiking with someone else, which was the case with an inexperienced hiker. So my friend Casey had never done a hike like this. In fact, she doesn't really hike at all. So I had been coaching her and kind of helping her bring the right supplies. And because of that, I was encouraging her most of the time. And then when I wasn't encouraging her, we would be passing people on the trail. I always say hello. I'm friendly. I say good morning. I told you last night I was far more chipper on the way down than I was on the way up. Far more conversational. But I always speak to other people. I like to be friendly. And then the other thing is I kept looking up and exclaiming over what I was seeing as we descended further and further into the canyon. So my primary responsibility was making sure Casey was okay. Because again, she'd never done anything like this before. And so I did a lot of encouraging her. We stopped for pictures. And so, yeah, there was more talking on this hike than I would say one that I would do with my family, who is much more comfortable in hiking.
Yeah, that's a serious hike. That's nice of you to coach her through it.
Well, it was amazing of her to offer to go with me. She was all in because of me. She wanted me to experience it, and I needed her to go with me.
Nice. So Steven wants to know, while you were in the Grand Canyon, did you see any animals?
We actually saw caribou. It was kind of fun. You know, the caribou butt, the white butt. So we did see some caribou at the Grand Canyon. And then there were a lot of, they looked like squirrels, but more like burros. They were running all over the place, chasing each other. Lots of birds, of course. We saw caterpillars, which is a good sign of spring. There was a fair amount of wildlife. Primarily, though, I was focused on the green everywhere. So the deeper we got in the canyon, the more the trees were in bloom, the purple flowers, the emerald green trees. It was gorgeous. So more flora than fauna in the Grand Canyon.
Did you see any donkeys riding down?
No, we only saw, I smelled the mules. We only saw mule dung on the path, but I did not actually encounter any of the animals. There was a big corral of horses and mules at the top at what they call Bright Angel Lodge. So this was the Bright Angel Trail and Bright Angel Trailhead. And I'll put some of those photos in my blog. But yeah, they have a lodge there where people stay, and there you can ride horses or ride mules. So I did see a group of them in a corral at the top, but did not see any on the trail. But I did smell them because we were down at the bottom at the Navajo campground. We were where they house the mules, so they keep them down there.
Would you do that?
Oh, yeah. No, originally, that was my bucket list, was riding a mule or a horse into the Grand Canyon. But then once I discovered you could hike it, I said, well, I'm going to do the hiking instead. But yes, Bob and I, actually, he's been to the Grand Canyon but has never been in it. Our bucket list item together is to ride horses into the canyon.
That's awesome. The mules, it scares me a little bit, though, going down. You have to put all your trust in that mule.
Yeah, but he's more sure-footed than you are.
Probably.
Yeah,
Probably
no, absolutely yeah. He is. And mules can pack. They can pack so much. They're so strong.
All right, so we're talking about the views. So Teresa asks, what did the sky look like from the Grand Canyon?
Oh, it was beautiful. We initially got there, it was more cloud covered just because it was early morning. But as the clouds burned off, the sky was a bold blue, a deep blue. And you know me, I love to take photos of clouds. So again, I will be sharing more photos on my blog and social. But Teresa, if you go to Twitter or Facebook, you'll see just a couple of the photos I took from the canyon floor. And they have the gorgeous clouds overhead in these photos. So yeah, white puffy clouds, gorgeous white puffy clouds in a bold blue sky.
And Paul just wants to know, what was your favorite part about the whole vacation?
Well, it was definitely experiencing the Grand Canyon in a way that I never anticipated. It was the friendship, of course, Casey and I slogging through this together. It was being able to take the pictures, but really it's just an unforgettable experience. Because as I said multiple times to Casey, girl, we're not at the Grand Canyon. We're in the Grand Canyon. It was so memorable. I'm so grateful still.
All right, so we'll move on a little bit from the vacation and move on to your other endeavor.
Okay.
So Joe wants to know, so far, what's your favorite part of being an adjunct professor?
Oh, so cool. I love being able to share the wisdom and the experience that I've accrued as a member of this media industry for years and years. But honestly, it's seeing them react, right? So I have them sit around a big, long rectangle table in the middle of the room. They're taking notes, which that's fine. But seeing them react as I'm sharing some of these, some of these tips and the wisdom with them, and seeing kind of the lights go on, the light bulbs, and also them engaging, right? Because, I mean, these are teenagers or early 20s in some cases, and let's be frank, like a lot of times, if they don't feel like you're interesting or engaged, then you can tell they're tuned out. But they're engaged. They're talking. They're volunteering. They're smiling. They're laughing. They're asking questions. It's really neat to have a conversation with them. So I'm actually glad the class is only 8 students, because I don't think I could do that with many more of them.
Little follow-up, kind of. Mike wants to know, would you have wanted to teach really anywhere, or are you more drawn to the idea because it was Syracuse where you
went,
of course?
No, I actually designed the class and was going to pitch it locally in New Jersey at, say, junior colleges, or try some New York City schools. I had no clue. I never thought Syracuse. Syracuse wasn't even on my radar. But Casey, my friend who I went hiking with, is also a young broadcaster that I mentor. She graduated from the grad program just a few years ago and put me in touch with the sports director, who then was able to hear my proposal. So yeah, I love Casey for a bazillion reasons, but this was her connection. She believed in me. So yeah, Syracuse was like out of my league. I was going to be a brand new adjunct. I had no clue that Syracuse would be the destination. But now I feel like it's the standard.
And it's going great.
Yeah, it is. I hope.
No, it is. So, well, not your job per se, but it's school related. Scott asks, have you ever attended a class reunion?
No, I refuse. I'm sorry. I'm just not one of those people. Oh, I take that back. My 10-year college reunion, I was actually the organizer. A friend and I, we were the ones who put it together. That's the only time in my life I've ever been to a high school or college reunion. It's not my thing. I don't want to reminisce about the good old days. I don't want to go back and see what people look like. I keep in touch with the people I care about. I don't have any desire to go back and be in that space again. I'm one of those never look back people. That's not my thing.
Mine got canceled and they're never redoing it. So,
oh, okay.
You have a choice.
Well, you can talk about how you have this incredible job with this.
I could have.
Yeah, with this national radio show.
Not anymore.
Nope. Oh, well.
Yeah. David wants to know, if Ben and Jerry's were to name an ice cream flavor after you, what would be in it?
Oh, let's see. What would be in it? Well, definitely chocolate chips, because that is my favorite. Chocolate chips. I'm going to go with some peanut butter. How about some s'more? Well, we could even do s'mores, right? That was my blizzard that I had as a reward for hiking the Grand Canyon. But definitely chocolate chips, some peanut butter in there as well. I love, love, love coconut. So those maybe would be 3 that I would say could go in it. And on top, I wouldn't mind a few gummy bears if we can do something on top.
Do you have a name?
No. Ask Amy anything.
Amy's boom.
What? No. What? No.
Why is
I like Ask Amy anything myself.
That's actually a pretty good name for it.
Yeah. For an ice cream?
That is. That's good. That's a good one. Luis wants to know, are you playing any slow-pitch softball this summer?
I don't think so. I'm going to play some golf. I'm actually joining a league. This is my mom's birthday present to me, is to pay for me to join a league. So I don't think I'll be playing softball. I miss it, though.
And back to vacation a bit. Connie wants to know, what's the next bucket list trip?
Oh, good question. That is a really good question. I We'll venture a guess that it's Hawaii, but that's just a guess. Don't ask me the occasion, okay? Don't do that, Producer Jay. But I would say Hawaii would likely be the next one.
Well, Jim wants to know, is there a place that you would love to go hiking that you haven't yet?
Well, I still haven't hiked Mount Washington, which is the tallest peak east of the Mississippi from my state of New Hampshire. I've been up to the top as, you know, a driver in a car multiple times as a kid, as an adult, because I grew up there. But I've never hiked it. That was going to be my bucket list this year, but I had to put it on hold for other extenuating circumstances that changed in my life. Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, we'll end with some rapid fire. Field day or field trip?
Oh, no, I freaking killed field day. I won all the blue ribbons. I was so stingy with the blue ribbons.
Password or secret handshake?
Secret handshake, because I forget all my passwords the second I change them.
Ketchup or ranch?
Ooh, no, I don't like ranch dressing. Gross. Ketchup on hot dogs and french fries. That's it. Burgers.
What about guacamole or salsa?
Guacamole. But salsa's healthier for you.
Now, sauce on the side or sauce on top?
Sauce on the side.
Hang out.
Sauce gardener.
hang out with kids or hang out with elderly?
Oh, that's mean. I love them both for different reasons, but right now I do really enjoy hanging out with my fourth and fifth graders.
Comedian in a serious film or a serious actor in a comedy film?
No, the opposite. If you've got a great sense of comedic timing, you can really break up a serious, kind of more tense film.
Last one here, animals or people?
Animals, by far. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.